Good morning, I'm Brady.
And I'm Daniel.
And this is Zach.
And this is Water on the Dipstick. Okay, so
I have a question for everyone that this is specific, so bear with me. This is like a would you rather almost, but for cars. So it's not going to be fun, but that's that's the fun. Okay.
Not going to be fun, but it will be. So hold on.
Hear me out. So you have to choose a daily driver. Now, we're going to have to use our phones for this because I don't know numbers off the top of my head either. But you have to choose a daily driver, okay? And you have to spend at least $200,000. No, listen. Here's the deal. No, here's the deal.
Is that in, like, is that for a base car?
My
like
house.
For modification purposes.
Someone, no, I'm saying that some rich, demented benefactor is going to do this for you, some angel investor or angel punisher. No, that sounds, that's the wrong thing.
That's going to be a hashtag at some point.
Yeah. The point is that somebody says, okay, I'll buy you a car. You have to spend at least $200,000. But here's the thing. It's only on the car, not accessories, not modifications. So if you can find something that's turnkey, that's game. That's fair game. But to, at least $200,000. And you get the money from them for the purchase. But then all maintenance is yours.
My gosh.
Yeah.
Nothing German.
Yeah, right.
I mean, to be fair, the Germans aren't the only ones who make you hate yourself when you work on something.
Yeah, that's very true.
Do you like lug nuts? Remember, here is the lug.
I just remember replacing brake pads on a Volvo one Saturday. And let me tell you,
never
it was not a cheap Saturday.
Never mind that they're Swedish, but yes.
Whatever.
And they were British brake pads. That was part of the problem. So,
oh, that makes...
They were ceramics.
That's like the whole... this is not where we're going at all. But, you know, kind of like the whole Elise Evora thing. When you look at all the Lotuses, you're like, Toyota, 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 engines. Yes. Nice.
I'm going to... I'm gonna rein this in because I want us to have to answer. Okay, so here's the thing I'll let us all kind of work on together. I think saying you have to do all maintenance costs, well, all costs associated for 1 year is too short. But, I mean, something like 10 years is just, you know. So I would say, what do you want to say, 5 years?
Yeah, five.
So, so
my name is Daniel Curtis, and I drive things until they return to the earth.
Right.
So
he's never driven anything less than 7 years.
So you have to spend at least $200,000. And I don't think we want to put an upper limit on it.
Mm-hmm.
We
mm-hmm.
need to put some kind of limit
so
on it.
What if we say between 200,000 and 400,000?
Okay,
is that too broad or is that too narrow?
I would be okay with 200 to 300.
Okay,
honestly,
okay,
because like
that's fair. So 200,000 range. You have to spend at least 200, but no more than 300,000. They'll pay for it and the taxes, registration, first jump. But everything after that is your responsibility.
I've already got one preloaded in my brain, but I really don't know what the maintenance involved is. I just know it has
See,
a,
that's my
I
problem.
Just know I know it has a blue oval, and I know a lot of the parts are interchangeable. That's all I know right off the bat.
Could you get one for under three right now?
I don't think
I know
that
rebuilt title cars exist.
Oh my gosh.
Wait,
title
do you want
there?
Yeah,
no,
you need to set this up
no,
as
no, no,
full as
fine.
You want to.
Oh my gosh was you're going to go broke putting tires on it because it's never going to be right because it's a rebuilt title car. And if it's that,
nah,
if
they,
it's the
they
one
gotta
I'm thinking
do it
of,
right. If it's going to be on the road.
It'll never be straight again.
This is Tennessee. The inspectors don't actually look
I
at
saw,
it.
You know what's funny?
Coming from an
I saw
inspector.
A Nissan. I saw a Nissan Frontier crab walking down Alcoa Highway just last night.
Can we be real? Nissan Frontier 4 GT. There's a little bit different construction.
But let's just
and, you
say,
know,
if we bring back cruising at Midland, crab walking might come back into favor.
Yeah, especially with the Hummer. Okay,
we're way off topic.
I told you, I'm going to rein you in. Apparently, we just want to talk about electric vehicles, but because the Hummer's electric. Okay.
A new one
you
is.
You killed me with that, because I'm just wondering where. Yeah, okay.
200 to 300, 5 years of maintenance costs, gas, tires, and literally the maintenance itself.
I don't even... That's so
I said we can
far
use
out
our
of
phones.
My price range. I don't even know where to begin.
I know, but just what would you buy?
Start oogling stuff you like, Zach. Old Brandy here could get an S7, but he'd have to get Steve Saleen himself.
Could
to,
he get an
first
S7?
Off, I could get...
You could get the wheels of an S7.
Somebody could bag up a fart that they ripped in an S7, and I might get it for $200,000.
I want to know what they're going for now.
Oh, my goodness.
I need to find my car.
So, okay, but it is, you said daily driver. So we have to actually drive it every day.
But, like, what are we talking about? Like, through the Taco Bell drive-thru? Or, like, I had to go do an inspection in Townsend, and there's a dirt road.
This is your car.
Everything you're doing in your normal day life, you have to take this. And the thing is,
you had to take a dirt road, so you just have to figure something out.
Oh, gosh. Okay, this changes everything.
That's a rebuild title. Just put some, put some great spring
KOT. Hey, some mud boggers for your Ford GT, son. Hooky lacquer.
Oh. Okay, so
let's see. I don't even.
I lied to you.
See, that's way too cheap.
Are we?
I'm only at 150 over here.
Where are you guys looking? Bring a trailer.
I'm looking on Google.
Oh, that's a whole other level. You have to find the listing. Now that's pretty funny.
Yeah, no, I think you need to find a real car.
That's no, that's good. I'm with that. I'm good with that.
That's why I was over here like car gurus or.
Do, as I say, do we want to use a specific site?
No, it's no, no, no.
You can find it. Yeah. You can find it.
Okay. Yeah, so whenever I look at all my rebuilt title Viper stuff, I can really figure this one out.
Absolutely killed my plan.
The fact that
you have to find the listing. I had, and this was, I didn't come up with the answer first, but I really did have this thought, and then I just like found, I knew my answer, but now it's just ruined it because I can't find, and I'll explain why when we get there.
I'm excited to know what you got. I'm about to blow big money on like a 67 GT500. No, I'm not.
This is a car. Funny enough, if I go old enough, this is one I may have in real life one day that I would genuinely like to have.
Well, that's making me excited. No idea what you're looking at, though. Oh my gosh. Don.
You found it already? Impressive.
Well,
we're gonna have to.
Where are you looking? Because I don't even know where I want to start.
DuPont's probably a good one.
Bring a trailer's good for just anything under the sun because there's private listings and everything.
Okay.
And then you can narrow it down.
As long as I don't actually have to bring a trailer.
Crap! I'm so mad. Mine is just not. Mine's just not for sale in the U.S.
Falling apart. Well, that doesn't. He can pay. He can pay import costs.
Okay. That's fine.
Build it in. As long as you can import it for under three still.
I'm so close. Oh. Got it.
Dang.
Found it.
This guy.
Perfect.
Way ahead of us.
Oh, it's got a CVT now.
Oh.
Ruined.
You crucified yourself. Hey, the eCVT is supposed to be great, though. That's a whole nother bag of transmission parts.
Okay, I've got mine. So, just to fill the time so nobody's listening to just... Well, I guess we could just edit out blank spaces.
You can fill the time. That's fine.
Fill the time if you want to. If you have something to pitch at us.
You ready for what mine is? First off, do you have any guesses?
Yeah, that's more fun. I really do want to guess.
Yeah. I don't know. McLaren?
No.
Okay.
But, okay, so straight out, but you're driving it to, so literally just for context, Federal Credit Union.
So I drive it. So the biggest challenge for my drive to work is it's a really steep driveway.
That's fair.
I mean, seriously, because it's only like 5 miles from my house, but it's an incredibly steep driveway. I do drive, so for Bible study on Monday nights, it's a gravel driveway. So that's one, if we're just walking through our week. That's pretty much, those are pretty much my big challenges. And I do drive, I put more than the standard 12 to 15 a year on a car. Because I tend to do most of the driving for my wife. Like, if we're together, I'm driving. And we go do stuff, and go to vacation once a year if we can help it. And so, you know, I do more than the 12 to 15. I'm probably closer to 20 a year. So I'm thinking...
Does your spouse have to...
No, they don't have to like it.
Or ride in it? I mean,
insofar that it's your car.
Yeah, that's fair.
Anyway,
sorry, yeah.
So, so your spouse's car's in the shop. Now this is your alternative.
Let's just be real. Rochelle can ride in my stuff right now.
She can't drive it.
No, it's because she doesn't really love either one. I mean, one is a clapped out plexiglass hooded Jeep that looks like you belong... in a place where everyone drives a tractor trailer that's on fire and they're fighting for fuel, aka like Mad Max sort of stuff.
Right, right.
And then the other one's just a
Mustang.
Yep, thank you. Yep, it's a Mustang.
Okay, so I'm gonna let you we'll take a few more guesses, but just in case we have to chop up what was said earlier, let's just restate the criteria.
Yeah, go for it.
So, a rich guy is going to buy you a car for between $200,000 and $300,000. He's going to pay off taxes, registration, import fees, up to $300,000 to get you started. But then once you take delivery of the car, it is yours entirely for all responsibility, financially and otherwise. You have to pay all maintenance costs and upkeep costs. It has to last 5 years. What is the car you choose?
So are we guessing yours now? Because I'm still looking, if I'm being honest.
If you can do both at once, that's fine.
Okay. I'm going to go broad. I'm fine. And then I'm going to narrow in.
Okay.
Is it a sports car, loose definition?
No.
Okay. Is it a...
supercar?
No.
Is it an SUV?
Nope.
Four-wheel drive?
I don't think they are.
Oh.
I don't think they are. The one, I'll look. I don't... I know, because part of me thought, go the Land Rover route. Which, and that's just a gamble, though. Like, if you have to do, like, if you have to do maintenance in the first 5 years, you might as well just pack it up.
Oh, man, the maintenance thing.
I know, that's...
that's the one that's killing me right now.
Wow, this doesn't even specify. That's so funny. Oh, nope, it's all-wheel drive.
There we go.
So it's all-wheel drive. No, wait, no. That's a Land Cruiser. Never mind. That's an ad below this ad. I don't understand how this works.
Oh, that's it.
He's found it.
Yeah, I think I have, actually.
I think I just found mine, too, actually.
Wait, wait.
I have no clue about maintenance on this car, though.
Quick question, and if this falls outside of the criteria, I can figure it out. I think I've got a backup. If it's... not necessarily quote-unquote coach-built, but it's something you order and most likely will not find on the market secondhand because people have them custom-built. What are we... Is that fine? Is that...
I mean, the thing... I think the have to have the listing is pretty...
Well, I'm saying...
I mean, he has the listing.
I can order it right now within our specifications.
Well, dang. Well, that made mine way easier again, because I could have gone from that.
That's fair. Yeah, let's stick to the listing thing. You were right.
Gotta find... because then you have to look at the... like, we'll look at the specs of the exact car in question and have some fun with that.
Oh. This is going to get rough really fast.
I literally cannot tell if this has all-wheel drive or not, or four-wheel drive or not.
Okay, just tell us what it is at this point.
Well, hang on.
Oh, yeah, I guess Zach needs
to. You said it's not an SUV,
nope.
But it is all-wheel drive.
It's not a sports car.
It's not a sports car.
And it's not an exotic, because you pitched that.
Right.
Or a supercar.
Well, no, it's not a supercar.
Oh, okay.
Those are two different things.
That's fair. So it's an exotic all-wheel drive car.
Well, he didn't say, is it an exotic?
I mean, in the sense that you'd have to import it, it's certainly an exotic. But as far as the traditional exotics...
is it an Asian car?
It is.
Okay.
So, Toyota, Honda...
Subaru.
Subaru.
Technically, yeah. Kia. Right?
Kia's, yeah, South Korea.
Yeah. Right.
Daewoo.
I don't know who that is.
I think I like trucks.
So, coupe or sedan?
It's a sedan.
Okay. I have no clue. High-end Corolla, I feel like, right now.
For $200,000?
Yeah. Well, it's all-wheel drive spec. It's
there
modified.
You go. Yeah, full cage.
Oh, my goodness. Am I going to introduce y'all to a car? I thought y'all knew about this car.
I don't know.
We're very lost at the moment. So.
I found a 2018 Toyota Century.
Oh.
It's secretly...
the high roller, most luxurious. It's
in
like
Japan.
The Bentley of... well, it's not even a Bentley. It would be like a Maybach. More
yeah,
so.
And it's that weird thing where most of them don't come with leather. So most of this one does, for example, but most of them come with like a wool blend because it's like the ultra elite of Japanese culture where leather is unbecoming because it makes noise when you move on it and that's inappropriate. So yeah, it's like it's a whole cult thing. But yeah, so okay, this one's a 2018.
I want to know what the maintenance looks like on that.
Okay, but here's the thing. You look at the interior, it's clearly a Toyota. Like, it's just a Toyota. And sure, it's got a V12, but... it's a 5-liter V12.
Oh, it's so smaller. I don't know if that makes it better or worse, honestly.
Well, it means that there's less...
It's just less turning resistance.
Yeah.
But, you make it compact.
I think it is. That's the thing, is I know some of them were turbo, but I think some of them were turbo, but I'm not sure. Let me Google is a Toyota Century. It's a V12 specs. Okay, so here's the thing. It's a V12, but it only makes about 280 horsepower. It's just not gonna it's just not going to tear itself apart.
Right.
Like, it's just made to be quiet. That's the point.
So what's the top speed on this thing? I'm looking at it right now. It is a boat of a car.
Yeah. Well, it makes a little difference to me.
I guess that's true.
Okay, so the third gen. So this is a G60, which is a third gen, which 2018 was the first year for it. It shares... It's this particular model makes 375 horsepower.
Okay.
Plus an electric motor, because it's an ECVT, and it's a hybrid.
Nice.
Oh, crap, it's a hybrid. This is not going well.
I think maintenance is going a
the
little
ECVT up. Is a cool concept. It's going to cost you money.
It only weighs 5,200 pounds.
That's lighter than I expected, honestly.
Right. Christ, can I find a 17 that still costs?
I love this.
I'm so proud of this find.
I'm just on the opposite end of the spectrum now.
Pitching something else, the Volkswagen Phaeton, I think is how you say it. Have you seen it? Because it's along those same lines.
I would rather slam my hand in a car door to get it to start every day than own a Volkswagen. As far as maintenance is concerned.
I would rather take my odds on a quad turboed 800 horsepower 3-cylinder with a Nissan CVT.
Good
from 08 that have a Volkswagen bicycle as far as how much I trust them to last.
So, okay. I stand by what I say. So, the oil changes, are what they are.
You could do those.
Yes. Tires.
You could do those.
Discount tire's going to be doing the tires. And the thing is that if it's some weird Toyota only size, because a lot of manufacturers like to do this, I'll just go get some wheels from Discount Tire and put on it cheaper than...
I can't wait for it to ride worse. Kind of like Lamborghinis when they get aftermarket wheels and they were built around that specific wheel. So when you go to an aftermarket one, it rides like trash, but they're like, but they're 22s. And you're like, okay, cool.
But anyways, So I found one for $202,000 plus import fees. I've got 98 grand to get it here. So
I've got 98 grand to get it here. It's not something you hear every day.
Right. And so I just think that all things considered, I think that's my best shot at getting, because this one's only got 5,000 kilometers on it.
That's amazing.
Yeah. Well, they don't get driven. I mean, Japan's not a terribly large place in the first place.
Yeah.
I know I'm oversimplifying it.
Well, yeah, but we're all going
Japan
to
is definitely
for this
more
cake.
Into public transit than a lot of places too.
Right. This
so
is,
they
yeah.
have.
Yeah, it's an enigma. But anyways, yeah. So essentially, to me, the secret is how do I get a Toyota to cost $200,000? Because that's pretty much my
just go for the most luxurious thing you can find.
Another option was find a collectible Subaru Brat. And I don't think they're up that high yet.
I love the
Baja. I definitely
Baja
found a collectible that I'm debating. But the thing is, I don't know about the maintenance on this car at all, so really throws a wrench into
to
everything.
To be fair, I'm not... It's a little bit of a thought experiment. I mean, well, it's literally only a thought experiment for this at this point in our lives. But to be fair, I don't know what the maintenance would be on a Toyota Century. I'm just taking my odds on a naturally aspirated 5-liter that only makes 300 horsepower, then it's just not going to tear itself apart.
Yeah.
See, my thought is, though, I go for the overbuilt car, but I drive it gingerly enough...
That's true.
...that I don't have to do as much maintenance.
Right.
But
I mean, you still have to do the regular intervals.
You know yourself. That's...
Well, yeah, sure, you don't drive gingerly everywhere, but I'm just saying, if it's built to be slapped around every weekend and you don't do that...
Is he buying a trophy truck?
That's what it's sounding like. He's really leading into something
truck,
extreme.
But it could race with a trophy truck.
Did you get an Audi Quattro?
No.
RS200?
There you go.
Dang.
You found it.
We were on the same wavelength because...
suck day in and day out.
Oh, I'm sure it might, absolutely would.
A load of fun.
No, it would ruin cars for you.
How so?
You would start taking the bus, and that's not even an option in this town.
Oh man. What aspect of that is ruined?
Because it's going to ride like...
It's a race
garbage.
Car.
I know
it's
a race
an absolute
car.
Race car.
But it's a... It's meant to rally somewhat, so I mean, if you're on pavement all the time, it's not going to be terrible, right?
It is. It's going to be a...
So think about, they wanted to make it as light as they could so you don't have any sound deadening. You're deaf,
I'm
so
deaf
that's
anyway,
okay.
So.
That's fine. That really doesn't matter. It's going to be really jerky, because
it's beef, chicken jerky.
Okay, all right. No. I meant more like when he's like at a red light and let the clutch out. Like, you're going to have to dump it like it's a race car and take off all the time. I know. That's my thinking.
Here's my thing. I never expect to spend $200,000 on a car, so this thought experiment is way in left field for me to even find
anything.
Well,
me too.
So did you go for the RS200 knowing you would never be able to get much of anything else in the $200,000 range, or one of those at least? Did you find one for
$200,000? There's one for $280,000.
A real one?
Wow. Gosh,
oh my
such
gosh.
A good looking car.
It is. That's the crazy thing is, like, I know we're trying to talk him out of driving it every day, but I drive it every other day. He's not driving it.
I mean, right. If I didn't love my Corvette so much, I would drive it every day. If I just had, you know, enough money like this to have these kind of cars, then I wouldn't care.
But if you had this kind of car,
and...
I don't...
But see, I think that you wouldn't drive your Corvette every day, eventually.
I
mean,
disagree.
Well, I mean, I could be wrong. I mean, but like a Lightning's pretty streetable, but it got old. Like, there were days where I wish I had something else.
I forgot these things had quad shocks. Your ride might be better than I'm making it out to be.
I don't know, guys. I mean, I've never even been close to an RS200, so I mean...
The other thing would be the size for me and you.
That's true.
I did think about
that.
So let the listeners know how tall you guys are.
True.
And
I'm,
just
well,
a little
I'm
size
in, no,
profile.
He's tall, I'm say, fat.
Well,
the
difference? I'm tall and fat, so... When you're 6'4 and weigh 350, you don't fit in a lot of economy cars.
That's going to be... I bet that's no bigger than an S2000.
Probably not.
Yeah,
it would definitely be an issue.
And you don't have the benefit of not having a top, so
we'd
have to cut a hole in the top.
However, though, with it being a race car, I might have adjustable pedals and different aspects to it.
You're going to have to put another seat in it.
Probably.
That would be brutal, too.
On a fixed seat?
Ooh.
You just put rails in. You know, trains, rails,
and we're not,
switches.
Like, it's your call. We're just playing devil's advocate.
It's honestly a pretty good pick for, like... I mean, I know you picked it for you, but I hit dirt roads sometimes. So, like, a lot of the things I really wanted right off the bat, because since I go to Sevierville to look at stuff, and I go up, like, mountain roads I don't expect, what do you want? What do you want?
That's the most broken logic. Well, sometimes I'm on a gravel road, so I better get an RS200.
It's fine.
I know, it's just...
I mean, it's like guys get Subarus, then they never see a gravel road.
It's putting out a match with a pool. I mean, it's just...
That's fair.
Hey, there's nothing wrong with that. The match
I got
is still
this
out,
yacht
right?
for my backyard pool because I have water now.
Right.
It's sort of that mentality.
Secondhand lion stuff right there.
That's quality.
Third-hand tigers.
Okay.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
That's rough.
Third. And
okay, I think I've picked mine, which this was hard.
Okay,
I'm like,
now
hold on.
You got crucified. Let's move on to the
yeah,
next one.
Yeah, bad answer, Zach.
That's fine.
Okay, so let's. Okay, so Daniel's is a Ford. Like, it just has to be.
You guys gave me $200,000. Of course it's going to be something I'm just dying to have. But also, I'm thinking about driving it on gravel and dirt
so
roads.
We,
so, he's
probably
it's
away
a,
from the GT at this
it's
point.
It's a Restromod specialty Mustang would be my first guess.
Okay.
That's my first guess.
So that's funny. That's why I asked about the whole, can I order it as opposed to finding a listing? I couldn't find a listing for any, because Revology, they take 5.0 Coyote powertrains and 6-speed, so stuff any Ford technician could work on, and they stuff them into the old cars,
oh,
and they'll
like,
put adaptive ride control on it and everything.
That's like Cliff Edge. What was that place you did some detailing work for?
Yes, I can't remember now. The Bronco
something
place?
Is it because it's such isn't a... It a... I gave such a terrible excuse of a...
Pretty much.
Yes. Just, your brain's like, well, I'm shredding that memory
Cliff
now.
Edge.
Doesn't it have a ridge in it?
I don't even know. Anyway. But it's called Kenser. Those are the people who made the chassis. I don't know the shop's name. But they do, so then they just retrofit them to fit like 4BT Cummins engines into them and Coyotes.
And the Broncos.
Right, sorry. Yeah, so and the Broncos.
Didn't,
and
we then, didn't say that. We all know that, but we didn't say
right,
that.
Right, that's
shop.
Fair for the podcast. And they make four-door conversions too. Like yeah. They just make them super plush.
Ford crushed it and made a fantastic looking
look. It looks good. It doesn't really mess with the body lines, which I know we love.
It's an actual modernization that's just true to form.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
Yes, I completely agree, but... Okay. Then, speaking of things we can't afford, the new Bronco. Okay. Okay, so you say it's not that because you couldn't find an example of it.
No.
Okay. Dang, that was my... That was my shoe. Is it a domestic?
Yeah.
Is it a Ford?
Technically.
Was it built...
Technically.
Well,
was it built somewhat. In the 20th or 21st century?
Yes.
Oh, wait, gosh. Isn't that every Ford?
Yeah, because no, they 20th, were 1903?
20th or 21st.
Oh, sorry. It was a question. I was just like, yes, of course it was built then. Yes. When cars were generally
was
built.
Was it when all manufactured
well, cars? Well, let me drop a hint. So it's built before 2000.
Oh, before 2000. Could a Cobra Mustang cost that much?
That would be an incredible amount of modifications.
And he found a listing, so it is out there. Huh.
You guys are thinking way too hard on this. You need to think more about the value and how I'm getting it to cost as much, and then think there. Because it is a Ford, but it's, like, better.
So it's a Shelby?
Yes.
Okay. You couldn't find a Cobra for that price.
I wouldn't want a daily.
I'm
Cobra.
Just trying to think in the rain.
I love Cobras, but since we're being realistic, like I can't imagine it raining and then I'm throwing mud as I'm going up this mountain.
Never
and
mind
I'm just...
600 horsepower in a car that weighs like the weight of the car doubles when you sit in it.
I would be in the long rope gang if I were in a Cobra in the
gosh,
rain.
The long rope gang. What Shelby? Now I'm thinking, how can you make a Shelby that's pre-2000 only cost $200,000?
Is it a Shelby Mustang?
Yeah.
Okay. I was trying to think. I don't think... Did Shelby even make anything other than Mustangs before? I mean, of course, he had dabbled
Dodge,
in
there's a
the
Dodge
Cobra
truck.
In Daytona, but...
Well, you guys already established it's a Ford. It's a Shelby.
Yeah, but there's a Dodge truck he made. Maybe you mean that, even though you just said it's a Ford.
Right, yeah. Thanks, appreciate that.
It's just, I mean, now it's just a matter of hitting a couple of years.
It is, yeah. So, you guys are right on the money. It's a 1968 Shelby GT500. And the reason I chose the 68 is because they moved away from the very radical side oiler engine. So, they went to the standard 428 Cobra Jet engines. And you get a Super Cobra Jet. So, the thing is... It's a milder build. It's still a big motor that sucks
is this
gas.
One a Super Cobra Jet?
Yeah, I think it's just a
Cobra
Jet.
Jet.
Okay. Yeah, and it's a 4-speed.
But
so
it's a KR?
Yeah, King of the Road Whoa. Edition. So that's
you
cool.
To get it up
it's
above
collectible.
200,000.
Right. And all the other GT500s were like 190, 185.
Yeah.
And I could probably find a side oiler one, but I don't want to work on or drive. Like, I want to drive a side oiler, but.
But not every day.
Yeah.
For this
and,
experiment, that
right.
is not the car.
And hearing all the guys who actually. Had experiences with those motors, the way that you drive them is you drive them hard all the time. And I don't know how it would do in stop and go traffic because it's just made to be run wide open because it builds
just
heat.
Just sitting in traffic, just
well,
revving
it. It's like the SR-71 thing. You build heat to get it to stop leaking oil.
Let's all pretend that we've never seen a Mustang pulled on the side of the highway cooling off.
Gosh, but
or pick your poison.
That's fair. That's
60s.
Very fair. But this one is probably one of the most dependable packages while still being, I think, 335 horsepower. It's plenty of fun.
Yes.
And it's just not going to beat my brains out. It has mufflers. It's streetable. It's still 4-speed, which I like. That's not killing me.
So what's funny about this to me, even as much as I cannot imagine spending the money they've spent to make it look this nice and painting it that color, but that's...
right.
That's their business.
Okay, so to describe the green, it's like a... How would you pitch it?
I mean, it's not a totally unpleasant green. It's just why on earth would you paint a GT500 this?
Oh, and the fact that's the factory color, so that's the option for that car.
Which Ford would? It just hadn't shook the whole secretary thing yet. You know what's funny? Can I say something very controversial?
Go for it.
I do not like that front end.
That's fair. I used to not, but the more that I look at the modern Mustangs, they took cues from that.
That's I see that, but I do not. Just flat out, I do not like
it. I'm more of a 67 Mustang guy in general, but I like the 68 GT500 KRs. They're the only ones that paired that hood and fascia together, and it creates this really wide open mouth in the front.
So, I gotta... So...
All right, so what, but like, can I not daily this? You guys aren't really grilling me like you did Zach's.
Oh, I'm just waiting my turn.
Okay.
So, at the end of the day, that's still dailying a car from the 60s.
It is.
And people back in the 60s who didn't even know better didn't like dailying cars from the 60s.
I don't think they knew any better. No, I know.
I'm being a little bit facetious, but that's the thing that would get me about that one. That would be my criticism for that is, and to be fair, you drove.
A 65 Mustang.
Much worse.
Yeah.
Much worse every day for how long?
Oh.
All of high school. And
well, are we talking about the Mustang or the Protégé right
the
now?
The Mustang. The Mustang.
Well, let's be real. The Mustang was somehow cooler than the Protégé most days.
No, I'm not talking about cooler. I'm just talking about how just...
Oh, I meant like literal suffering. Air temperature on the inside cool. Like the Protégé got hot. On highway speeds, long
That's
drives,
funny.
And the Mustang you could cool down with vent windows. I know this sounds contradictory, but like it was more pleasant at times.
Well, and you had to have the windows open or you would asphyxiate.
Yeah,
so,
you'd die.
Know, so
exhaust leaks into the car. That's me. That's not Ford. That was fault me.
That's true. But 60s cars stink. Even
they
when
do.
Even
yeah.
when they're well built, they stink
because they're and carbureted. They're
right,
carbureted. They have no cats.
They just don't have the same. I don't care what anyone says. They just don't have the same... They're not put together the same way that keeps them from being...
Oh, yeah. Too. Absolutely not.
Sure.
We weren't on the metric system.
I know.
That's controversial right there.
So, I think that in terms of ranking the picks...
Oh, this is like James May and Jeremy Clarkson.
So
Richard Hammond. Because we're all very different.
Mine is absolutely absurd.
So let's just...
That's fair.
I'll go ahead and be Jeremy and somehow work it out that I won no matter what. And
good.
That'll just always be what it is.
But if
well,
we're
sure.
being real, in a drag race, Zach would win. I would come in second. You would be dead last. You might be better in reverse, actually.
All we would have to do is say, hey, let's all drive to Johnson City in our cars.
And then
y'all
we
would
all
be screaming.
And I would be there in an hour, though. So,
that's fair, but in terms of like accomplishable speed and what's just physically possible to do on a highway with other people.
Well, I'm in the median.
That's me.
why do I need a road?
Son, do you know you're doing 160 miles
Sir,
an hour jumping
I wasn't
the
on the road. I don't think you can clock me.
Plot twist. It was so insufferable on the interstate. He was in the meeting to kill himself. That's exactly the goal.
And the car got better because
right.
it was built for rally.
It's like, oh, I can finally handle how to drive.
I have no doubt that your car would be more enjoyable for a two-hour ride, but I could also drive this Mustang for 2 hours and not want to blow
okay,
my brains out.
But you
out.
Just broke your own mold also because you also said this is a daily driver. I maybe drive 2 hours in my entire day.
Oh, that's true. You don't drive
like,
that
I don't
far
drive
to
very
work.
Much.
It gets it, you drive. Well, that's true, but you do have to drive Knoxville.
I do, but it's interstate driving.
That's true.
It's not stop and go.
I think the thing that makes it really tricky is like at the end of the day, historically, we all have had cars that we kind of fool with, and then a different car that we may take on a trip, and like because we've all been fortunate
true.
Enough to just have.
Multiple cars,
multiple
honestly.
Cars, and even between the three of us sharing car. I mean, like, you know,
says
it's just
the
like...
the Jeep guy that he took to Hilton Head.
Yeah, I've driven more than one Jeep to Hilton Head on more than one occasion. So.
Yeah, but you drove one that was...
Talk about a terrible ride.
That's why you're going so hard on the comfy spectrum,
yeah.
I think.
That's no joke. When you look at, like, how I feel about cars in general,
I literally broke
so,
himself.
Yeah, I did, because you remember, I would work... I looked from... I don't know, mid-March until November, I wouldn't put the top on the Jeep.
Yeah.
If it rained, it rained. And I just lived that for years, and I liked it at the time. But that's why I say if you did it every day, you might find your limit.
That is
right.
That is
and I might find my limit, but then I just have to say, oh, it's just two more years at this point, so
what's that? I don't think it would take 3 years.
I think perspective is a huge part of it, though.
Right.
Kind of like your Jeep experience would shape what car you're getting into. And I hate, and like, you guys hate me for this, but it's like, even if you gave me $500,000, I'd figure out a way to spend it on a 60s Mustang.
Right.
Like, I would
wouldn't. You'd figure out how to buy a Viper.
Maybe, but like,
you could buy my for two.
But deep down inside, like, the unattainable, like, really legendary cars in me are always just.
And I want to get to the point of this, but quickly. The funny thing is, my maintenance, I really think my maintenance would be the least frequent, but cost more. Yours would be very frequent, but cost very little because it's common Ford parts.
And mine's all over the spectrum.
Yours would be frequent and cost a fortune because it's all bespoke because there were only 24 of them.
I don't know if mine would be frequent. I drive it way too hard. It'd be frequent.
No, it would. I mean, just in the sense that a 60s car needs, like,
I know, a that's tuna fair.
Every time you go to Dairy Queen. Like, it's just. Okay, so.
This is coming from the guy who didn't drive one all the time, though.
I'm just going off of what you told me all that time.
Well, I didn't. Yeah, that one was. Yeah,
that one was special.
That one needed. That one went from backyard to road. This one's been restored for road. I'm hoping that means something real.
My favorite story about that car is that we had a disagreement about whether, not disagreement in the sense we were arguing. Just like I went, hey, I think it's missing, and you're, and we were like, oh, I'm not sure, because it was open headers messing with it.
Gosh,
I think it's missing. It was like, can you tell that from this thing? But then one of the spark plugs, I don't know if it had been dropped, but there was no gap. It was completely ungapped.
It was just touching itself. Electrode to tip.
Right. And, okay, so I really do think, as far as who would have to do, when the maintenance came, I think it would be expensive, but I don't think it would come often.
Right.
I think general just maintenance, not reparative, but general maintenance, yours is just going to have more, but it's going to be, you can do it yourself.
That's true.
And then I think this would be...
this pointing to Zach.
Yeah, Zach would just be in trouble if the maintenance...
Hope I fell in love with working on the RS200, and
see, that's what you didn't bank on. I live 5 minutes from this guy who would be just drooling over this thing I drive every day.
And I thrive on misery, unfortunately.
Fuels him. And that's the other thing, is that a lot of your mechanic friends, like Lee Daly, would probably just eat that up to come look at it, you know?
Oh, yeah.
Even Reagan Holmes. I mean, like, there's so many people. Nathan, he'd come, or, you know, he'd come look at it. Anyway, so a lot of the mechanics we can think of, not that you're not one, but, like...
Well, I mean, guys who literally... Lee Daly's just on a different spectrum.
No, that's fair. The man who messed with jet engines.
Have literally been, paid their bills by doing it.
Yeah, that's definitely not me. I get paid, like, you know, a McDonald's meal, or someone's like, hey, here's $100 for that brake job. Appreciate it.
Do they pay you like they pay me at work? I've told you how they pay us.
No.
Banana peels?
Yeah. On Fridays, they line us up and slap us with a banana peel and say, I'll see you on Monday.
Oh, my gosh.
So that's the thing, is that I think that...
So I think you win maintenance. We can establish that. We're still ranking comfort. These things, right? You definitely... But
I still feel like maintenance is close between you two.
That's fair. Because here's my thing.
I don't know how expensive yours is going to be.
What's your... Like, that really nice ride quality is coming from something. Is it electromagnetic shocks? Like, what?
But you only have to make it the first 100. Because it's only got 4,000 miles, these luxury things start to deteriorate.
Oh, so there's a window, too.
Because, I'm just saying 5 years worth. So, like, if I drive it 100,000 miles in 5 years, it's the first 100,000, effectively the first 100,000 miles on the car.
But if I grease everything, like, I'm just saying it's so crude. Library axle, I mean, it's double wishbone in the front, but it's so simple. Like,
it's like
you grease everything or switch them over to polyurethane, which I guess that's more maintenance, but, like, then it's just going to last forever.
Yeah, yes. But it's the difference of, like...
doing the thing versus not doing the thing.
Right, like it's like a Range Rover. Yes, because I don't think I would have to do that much. Because like it's like a Range Rover the first 100,000 miles and a Range Rover the next 100,000 miles.
It's
kind of
like even if I... Where was this car? Even if this is in a different altitude from us, I'm rejetting the car the day I get it. Maybe.
It's just going to be stuff like that all the time.
Right, and that's fair.
I just think that... like.
335. I'm pretty happy with that. That's the lower horsepower number. We'll be fine. I'm not seeing big engine cost or failures or anything.
What is interesting, and the point that I think I'm making, is that you give us all this money, and I did have one... There was one answer I didn't go with, and there's one that we just all left on the table that probably would have been okay if not the maintenance would have got us. Which is a Porsche. I think we could have spent...
Pretty much why I steered away from Porsche, Lamborghini, Ferrari.
Okay, but those, I think, are even more obvious. We've talked about this some before, that pretty much anyone in the in automotive journalism, or a lot of people, will tell you that there's only two cars. When they do these shootouts at Car and Driver or Road and Track or whatever, when they do these shootouts, there's only two cars they flog. The rest of them, they baby, because they'll blow them up, because they're really, ironically, just... not good in that sense, but they absolutely flogged the Corvettes, which naturally, and they flogged the Porsches. But the Lamborghinis, the Ferraris, maybe even the higher-end Audis, certainly the McLarens, I mean, they baby them because you'll blow them up. Like,
yeah.
And that's,
and they might drive them hard, but then you let them cool down.
Oh, you have to. And I've heard that they just punish the Corvettes and the Porsches. And credit to them, you know. I think that says something. And I think the fact that none of us... Because the funny thing is luxury supercars have really nice interiors.
But the reason, like, really cushy ride, honestly.
Yeah, and they have different modes you can put them in. Mm-hmm. But at least, I can't speak for y'all, but the reason that it's, I wouldn't even entertain it is that it just has to go to the shop once. And I now don't have a car because I couldn't afford it.
Yeah, you have a small home loan instead to get back into it.
And it's just, I guess to me, the point is there's this really hilarious blind spot when you talk about cars and desirability where, in some sense, a lot of the cars we celebrate kind of suck. I mean, because they don't do their job well.
Right.
They look amazing.
They're built for the passion, not for the...
Right.
The lasting... Like, the purpose of the car, I guess, honestly.
It's the opposite of utilitarian. I mean, it's just... So, like, for example, I think the... I think the Sesto Elemento is one of the just coolest looking cars ever. But I can you imagine? Or even...
Like an Aventador, anything like that. Aventador.
I mean, just, you know, I tend to like the hard edges. Well, I don't know.
A Ferrari Enzo.
Right.
Or the best looking... that F1 car that somehow made it into production and got bigger.
Somehow just got put on a road.
The best looking Ferrari ever built, the F40.
Mm.
I mean, but anyways, I just don't... Isn't that just so interesting that, and that's where I think I kind of lost my interest in them. Like, you know, I don't know what.
But you can't remove them from, like, at least in the defense of the F40, you can't remove them from their context, which was to race.
Right.
Like, yes. they were purpose built and then celebrated on the road, knowing what they were supposed to be. And I think if you take it out of that context, like, the people who buy these road cars know that they're not a Camry. You're not going to drive it every day. And I think that's why this was fun, is because we were driving these things every day.
Right.
We can't think about, like, oh, yeah, this is a really well-celebrated car. I'm going to get a Hennessey 1000. It's a Ford GT making 1,000 horsepower.
Right.
That's awesome. No, that doesn't really
work
in the real world.
But it does, I think.
Not every day, at least.
Right. And I think it just reframes the question that it's just really unfair that a lot of really good engineering isn't celebrated because it's not as flashy, but it's the it's the stuff that really makes a good car. And that's kind of not fun because I'm saying, you know, down with...
You're talking to a man who likes truck motors put into just really crude machines, and they dub it a muscle car, and they take it racing, and it's successful just a couple times, and it has heritage. So, I get it.
But
it's cool, because you can work on it and make it run and bring it to life, and when you think it's dead, you bring it to life again for maybe $1,000 with a whole powertrain swap, which is amazing.
And maybe that's the thing, is it's such a throwaway mentality. And when you engineer something...
Electric cars. We can just jump off into that.
When even staying out of them, when you engineer something, when you know after 20,000 miles it's going to need a new clutch, and a new clutch involves breaking the car in half, and it costs, it's like a $50,000 maintenance job to put a clutch in it at 20,000 miles. Like, this is so...
Even Porsche, who we know builds stuff well, and I mean, it's overbuilt and it's costly for a reason, but like a PDK transmission, those dual clutch crazy, just like you break a transaxle apart and say, this is okay, this is fine, I can't do that. Right. I'm not that guy. Right. Even if I had, yeah, I don't think I could do that.
Or afford that. Right. That's probably.
But even the we've heard people talk about, you know, Porsche guys, they brag about how many miles they have.
Yeah. Which is fun.
Who would buy? Can you imagine wanting to buy? Can you just imagine buying a Ferrari with 50,000 miles?
I'd wonder when the fire is going to start.
I mean, you just wouldn't touch it.
I'd just put marshmallows in the passenger seat and be ready.
But then a 50,000 mile Porsche is, you know,
going places
right.
for a long, long time. Just,
I don't know. That's and I'm a homer for Porsche, so I get that.
Gosh. Can we go back to the overall ranking? Because, like, I like where this conversation is, but I feel like we're getting stuck
sure,
here.
Sure.
Zach's got us on performance, hands down. Bottom it doesn't matter.
Sure, but that had nothing to do with what the whole point was.
Well, maybe not, but like, we've got to rank it, so right. there's criteria, I feel like. And I feel like performance, it doesn't matter whether it's braking, accelerating, slalom, course. We can go to a track day, and we would lose massively to that car.
There's nothing that... Maybe a 3 mile drag race where you would just top out and.
But he's going to top out at 175 miles an hour or something like that.
Would they really go that fast?
I think so. They're insane. Group B rally was a time where you were just willing to kill yourself for a win, which is phenomenal.
That was a lot of rally in general.
Yeah. Yeah, but Group B was like
what about
the
rally
culmination.
Major? Yeah, I don't know about them.
Yeah, that's
rally
a
and Colonel.
Gosh.
Okay, so performance. So Zach's got us licked on performance. That's
oh, yeah.
true.
Sure, but one track down, I have to rebuild the car, so.
As far as getting old dudes to tip their hat, you've got.
Oh, it's a KR. Absolutely, yeah. Anytime I go to a Dairy Queen, they give me free ice cream.
It's a KR, it's a 60s Mustang.
That's fair, too. But I'm just saying, the guys that really know, KR, you're in.
Yeah.
I don't know what else it does other than that, though. I mean, it starts, it goes, it's pretty crude. Makes some good noises. Eats a lot of gas. I could build it is really where I was hinging on. Like, whenever you said you had to do the maintenance, I know how maintenance works in my life. I pay for the things I absolutely don't want to do. And then everything else I do.
I think as far as gas, I think I would spend the least.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
I mean, not even as far as who has to drive the most, because then you just lose that pretty much.
Oh, yeah, I do, because I drive for, like, 4 or 5 hours a day sometimes. Like, that's pretty normal. Right. Which is rough.
That's hilarious that you picked a 60s car for that.
Well, but sorry. So on the flip side, I know we're doing ranking, so I don't want to get too carried away with this. But the whole reason we drive, I know that the car has to go A to B, but it's because we love it. I'm not living forever. And if I'm going to spend $200,000 on something, I'm going to get something I like.
I think that you've just kind of... Now we're just having therapy while recording it. Because you've just uncovered the whole issue for me.
Yeah.
I only drive to get from A to B at this point in my life.
Yep.
And it doesn't mean I couldn't have a car that doesn't. It's just that it's ironically...
I think that's why you love Porsche so much right now, honestly, too. And not that you will get over that. They're beautiful machines, but like they do the A to B well, right. And they also elicit something. Like they make you feel something when you look at it, when you drive it.
And don't let me... And we don't even have to go to the... I bet that's why you love Porsche. We know empirically that's yeah. why I like my Honda so much.
Mm-hmm.
Because it's not fast. It's not cool. I don't even like how it looks. I had an argument with my dad. I mean, not... Okay. Argument. I'm learning that those different words mean different things to different people because some people actually truly argue with their dad. I had a
like throw cats at them,
right?
And
right.
Kind of stuff.
Yeah. So like, dad and I went round and round in a conversation about whether or not the car looked good, and he was like, "I think it's a good looking car." I was like, "Dad, it's so ugly." He's like, "No, it's a good looking car."
Wait, wait. So you had this car picked before you? Came.
No, he's talking about the CRV.
Sorry.
Oh,
the CRV.
Whoo, yeah. I was so sorry. What?
I have an 09 CRV. And I was
Your
like,
dad said that's a good-looking car?
He's
a man who likes Datsuns and Corvettes?
He doesn't like anything with Jeeps now.
I don't actually buy that.
I don't even think he likes Jeeps. And we're going to have to do a podcast on how Jeep culture has ruined Jeep culture. But that's a whole other thing. It's so bad now. But anyways, he was like, the first time I showed it to him, I brought it over. They're like, oh man, that's a pretty sharp car. I was like, it's really not. But that's okay. Like, I don't need it to look good. I just do not care. And that's, you know, the whole thing about like, if you don't turn around and look back when you park your car, you've got the wrong car. Bull crap, man. I mean, like,
double take thing. Right, yeah.
As far as buying a car for fun, yeah, that's a really good litmus test. Like, if you're not excited to turn around and see it parked there, why did you buy that for fun? But when I'm having to run into Kroger to grocery shop, I'm not worried about, like, oh, yeah, she's parked up right, boys, got the tires shining. It's just day in and day out. I write loans for a living. Like,
think about your college cars. Like, well, okay, your typical college cars. I went from a 60s Mustang to a 96 Protégé. Sorry, 90. Yeah, 96, because the Pontiac's 97.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah, there we go.
Yeah.
We have to, you know, list it by family cars, and then we know.
Right.
But, like, it was boring comparatively, right. But it was amazing. I'd never right. gotten, it was like 38 miles the gallon on the highway.
Right.
And it would do even into the low 30s in the city. Like, it was just, it blew my mind how good you could get gas mileage-wise, because all I ever knew.
From 10.
Yeah, all I knew was a small block Ford and a 4-speed, which got 17 if you were
You never nice. Got 17.
I never got
once or twice.
My truck got 10, literally.
Your truck was a truck.
Yeah.
Let's be real. You know, apples, oranges, bricks, and briquettes.
It was a power-added truck.
Yeah.
Two valve. Yeah, yeah.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. See, you're painting the much fuller picture here.
So, you know, yeah, that's definitely, that's what you just said is the way you justify yours for a daily is the same way I justify my pick for a daily.
Yeah.
Is that I am just wanting to go from A to B. And again, mm-hmm. it's not that I've lost the love of driving. It's just that I don't have anything right now that I do that with, you know? And so,
yeah.
Which is kind of funny.
And, some of us would be okay crawling down into a death machine that jumps over hills like it's nothing and makes pow, 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 pow
Toyota
noises
Corollas.
Like you're.
yep.
Right? I'm going to have to peanut on
we're
for the Toyota.
We're not going to disrespect Toyota Corollas.
No, we're not.
Disrespect. That was high praise.
We're talking about the Randy Benson special, so we're going to have to hit that story with peanut sometime.
Gosh.
But no, the RS200, like, I could make that work.
It's my favorite. It's my favorite pick of the three.
It
flat
well,
out.
Sure.
I mean, yeah. No disrespect to a Shelby Mustang.
No,
but
like, you never see an
RS200. So
the question
cool.
is, how reliable is that motor for 5 years? And when are the turbos going to go out on it?
I have no idea. Because, like, you know they had to build them very tough to get through a rally stage. So I don't know what that translates to.
And that was kind of my...
Yeah,
but that
like,
was my point
running
about driving...
Running red line all the way through, smacking it off the redliner, and then you drive
them,
it low revs all the time.
But a lot of the... Like, some motors, like, if you don't... Like, what you're talking about...
Oh, with the 427 side
you
oiler?
You get blow-by because you're not running them the way they're designed.
Yeah, but let's be real. 1980s cars versus 1960s cars, metallurgy changed altogether, and the way they built stuff changed. I mean, our jets don't leak fuel anymore on the ground before they hit the atmosphere.
You know, like...
Atmosphere, the edge of the atmosphere. Where's I going with that?
Like the most amazing jet ever? Yeah.
The SR-71?
Yeah.
What were you going to say, buddy?
Oh, yeah, that just leaked because the panels had to expand.
Yeah,
right.
that's sort of what I'm getting
that's
at. Like,
point.
The 427, they didn't have another way for this thing to be the high-performance motor running those kinds of temperatures
right.
without having some sort of terrible byproduct at low speed, which was consuming oil. Because the rings, like, it had to heat up, had to expand, had to... It's interesting, honestly. But it's also why the GT40s were like, they're like, don't start them until you need them. Like, just don't.
There is no idling.
There's no idling.
Start it, you go.
Right, and there's no idling to warm it up. It's like, you just run it flat out. Like, it's overbuilt. It'll take it. It's fine. Just go. Like, just
right.
go build oil pressure, get heat in it, and it'll be fine. Whereas, like, the RS200, blasting around gravel and dirt and smacking off the red line, like, I feel like it'd be okay.
Right.
Low revs. I don't know what it would cost to replace that. Stuff. I don't know how bespoke it is. I don't know if it's a Ford
well,
parts bin
to,
special.
You have to think that, like, at some point, a turbo is a turbo. Like, at some
right, right.
We'll go get
right.
a junkyard turbo and slap on there.
Just
guess, one. They
I
both
guess,
go out. We just put one
but
on.
But I guess that's also, like, if we wanted to just keep going on with this, we could keep setting parameters, and we could probably weasel our way through it and find
right.
ways around it by saying, yeah, there's a junkyard. Oh, yeah, there's a rebuilt title one. Oh, yeah, there's
right. and I think
junk
that,
parts.
And we can, but that's kind of the point is, isn't it interesting that none of us, we could have found in a lot of different manufacturers, if we were willing to go just a couple years old or brand new in some cases,
cars with really nice interiors that are highly quote-unquote desirable, and none of us were remotely interested in those options.
Like the exotics, which is hilarious because a lot of people be like, you chose a harsh Mustang over a Ferrari, and like, I just don't know how...
I bet it'd be more livable, though.
I do, too. And that's the thing, is like...
like you said, past 50,000 miles, it certainly is.
Right, absolutely. And, like, people act like crude suspension makes or breaks a car. Like, we have live rear axle trucks that ride so nice. Right. It's really not that big of a deal. People just get hung up because of journalists.
Right.
Boss 302 is one of the best handling cars in recent times. Before they went to the S550 platform, it was a live rear axle managed by a three-link suspension.
Right.
I don't know. Like, I think some things get overblown and some things get overlooked, but I think our picks make sense. I love yours. If I had to drive to Johnson City or further, I'd steal Brady's car.
Right, right.
And I'd make him drive the Mustang to to work.
Oh, I'd hate that.
Yeah, you would. You'd have to park it in your office, get the old men to come over there, take out a loan.
Let me tell you something. They would, those old men would buy me dinner. I mean, they would. They would. They'd go.
Yeah, you want to go to the zoo later? Oh, I know some rhinos.
I thought we might go to the zoo before this was
over. We would have to. I liked this. We need to pitch these more. Or so someone needs to come up with a challenge.
I thought that was interesting. And again, because I think it's just. I guess I just have a vendetta against exotics, and so I want to prove my point. But it is fun to think.
No Corvette, Zach. That's the wild thing to me.
I was thinking the only Corvette I could probably find over $200,000 would be a 2019 ZR1 with just no miles on it. And because even when they have 10,000 miles right now, they're still only like 180. Well, I say only 180, like I could ever afford that. But the point is, there's very few Corvettes unless I'm going back to find a Mako Shark from Gen 2, or just a 63 split window coupe.
Get a Grand Sport.
Or a Grand Sport.
Which is a race car.
But, yeah, I was about to say, then we're back to just some...
I mean, you even had Brady's...
Interesting options.
You had Brady's high praise on that one. Because the Corvettes are tough. Like,
they are.
It's one of the few sports cars that reach, in some trim option packages, over into the supercar territory. The difference is you can drive it every day.
And specifically, the 350 is just such... The small block Chevy is a workhorse. Such a good platform.
It is. And I don't know... Was there a segue to the C4 that I missed? There was something where I wanted to throw in the ZR1 C4 stuff. Oh, it was durability. It was what you were talking about. What's funny is the whole reason the LS was born was because the GM engineers in... well, I guess at GM, that was dumb. But they were so pissed off that Lotus got the project for the ZR1 because Lotus developed the ZR1 delivered cam engine for the C4.
Wow.
And then Mercury Marine in the States built it. And so it's this really phenomenal engine. And internally, GM's like, why didn't they ask us? Why didn't we do this? So then there's this resurgence to, we're going to make the small block better than anything else.
With a push rod.
Well, they scrapped it all because initially they tried using the traditional 350 Chevy small block, like the short block, and it wouldn't work. So then Lotus had to make a bespoke engine. And it was, you know, from the oil pan to the intake, it was just a totally different engine. Nothing was going to cross over, but it pissed off the GM engineers that they didn't get the ZR1 project. So they went back to the drawing board and made the best pushrod engine ever, which is the LS series, which came out in the 1996 Corvette, which is hilarious that they got to it that fast.
Wow.
Yeah, sorry, that was just off of your durability comment. I thought of that, and I thought it was cool.
So somebody talking about Corvettes, I heard someone, one of those... I don't know what you call, what's the things, the ads for articles that are really just clickbait. So there was like there's like a clickbait video starting on Instagram Reels or whatever dumb thing there is now. And it was like, what if I told you there was an American car, that would go 250 miles an hour? Or what if I told you there's a car in the 80s that would go 250, or early 90s? Anyways, I knew immediately what you were talking about, the Callaway.
The Sledgehammer? Sledgehammer. Yeah.
And so, maybe that one would cost.
Oh. Probably. Oh, yeah. Because it's a twin-turboed I mean, I don't know how bespoke the engine is. Bespoke is my favorite word, apparently. I'm saying it. I'll use it whenever it's not supposed to be used. But
I've got some bespokes on my back wheel.
They got some spooners on them, too. Yeah. Little spoon spoon.
You bringing up the C4 made me think about that Falconator they made, which is a V10?
Yeah. Yeah, it is. Because it was supposed to compete.
That would be either.
I'm glad you brought that up, because speaking of Mercury Marine, I think, I could be wrong, Corvette guys, please grill me if I am, but I think they developed that engine, because it was supposed to go head-to-head with the Viper when they found out the Viper was going to be a V10 rear-wheel drive Corvette killer. That was a really cool thing.
It was very cool
at the Corvette
Museum.
The V12.
Oh, it's a V12. There we go. I'm glad you looked that up.
We only have the most powerful source of information at our fingertips.
I'd rather be wrong and get grilled later.
Yeah. I'd rather be.
Would you like teriyaki sauce?
Broiled, yeah, thanks. So, well.
All right. Well, that has been episode 2 of Water on the Dipstick. We are now on Spotify and Apple Podcast, and you can find us on Twitter at Watery Dipstick. Leave any comments, concerns, you know, if you want to grill any of us, just add us. And
tell us what your pick would be.
Yeah, absolutely.
From today's...
Other than your nose, because you're watching this.
And your friend's nose, or however that goes. Yeah, tell us what you would pick, and tell us why.